will be with us next week. He is going to be used by our Heavenly Father to speak blessing into your life. So I hope that you'll plan on being with us. Hey, it is so great to be gathered again 2 weeks in a row. How I have missed this time together. You know, for me, summer has always kind of been a season specifically for gathering. It always has been as a family. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I did the funeral, or participated in the funeral for my mother's last family member from her generation, my Aunt Myrna. And Aunt Myrna was always kind of the family gatherer for our family. You know, I think every family has one of those. The person who prioritizes getting together, who plans and organizes all the family reunions. And all through my life growing up, summertime was an important time for family gathering. And you know what happens when families gather, right? What do you do when families gather? You eat. That's why I love those family gatherings. We would sit around and eat. But you not only eat, you also at family gatherings, you tell the stories of the family, right? And every family has their own repertoire of stories that they go through time after time. You tell it again and again, and it gets better and better as you tell those stories. And those family stories are part of the glue of a family. We told stories. Stories like our 4th of July bottle rocket story. Myself and all my cousins got together, and somebody had bought us a big pack of bottle rockets, and we had empty Coca-Cola bottles, and we would set those bottles up, and we were lighting off those bottle rockets, you know, one at a time, watching them go up into the sky, and they would burst, and all the family was gathered there under the carport and underneath that big shade tree, and they were cranking the churns for the homemade ice cream, and they were telling stories and just having the greatest time watching as we're shooting off one after another bottle rocket just going up. And that's when it happened. We lit one of those bottle rockets and we touched the Coca-Cola bottle, and it does this, falls over. And it wasn't long until that fuse ignited and the propulsion exploded and that bottle rocket goes right into the family. And let me tell you, old people can move if they are motivated. It was like watching the parting of the Red Sea, and all that was left was this smoke trail that went right through where all of them had been gathering. We would tell that story, or we would tell the story of the motorcycle day. My oldest cousin had this motorcycle that he was trying to sell, and that blasted thing just would not start. And so that meant that all of the men in the family, all the uncles, had to get together, and they tinkered with that motorcycle all day. They each would take their turn sitting on that bike trying to get it to start, and it would start, and it would sputter, and it would stop, and somebody else would take a turn. And finally it came to where it was my dad's turn, and this was the perfect moment because my dad had never been on a motorcycle before. And so, you know, that's the moment at which this thing decides to come to life. Dad sits on the seat of that motorcycle and he holds on, and that motorcycle comes to life. Vroom, vroom. And so all Dad wanted to do was hold on, right? And when he went like that, it went like that. And it goes back across that backyard, and there was a big pile of dirt right there on the edge of my uncle's garden that he always treasured and loved that garden. And Dad had perfect aim because he hit that pile of dirt. He went airborne into the air, and he landed that motorcycle in the most beautiful patch of tomatoes that my uncle had ever had up until that point, you know. And we would tell that story over and over again. And you have your own repertoire of family gathering stories, moments frozen in time. Well, today we're going to talk about a gathering, a family gathering. And this family that we're talking about today is this family, our family. We're a family of faith. And listen, there is a family gathering that is to come. And in that family gathering that is to come in eternity, you know what we're going to do? we're going to eat. It talks about there being a banquet table, doesn't it? And we're going to tell the story because there is the one story that this family has been told. You are to tell the story over and over and over again. And I imagine when we get there, the story's going to be the best that it has ever been. And we have a glimpse of that story. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Revelation, the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at this story, the final story, as it is unfolded before us. You're going to look in Revelation, the last book in the Bible. We're going to look at the last chapter in the last book of the Bible. And we're going to look at some of the last verses in that last book of that last chapter, Revelation chapter 27, or chapter 22, beginning with verse 17. And let me just take a minute. If we've not yet met, either here in this room or gathered there at home, let me introduce myself. My name's Kevin Lee. I am one of the pastors here, and we're so glad that you've come to this family gathering on this day and listen to the story of the family gathering that is to come. Now, we're going to be reading verse 17 and then skipping down to verse 20 and 21. And some of you are going to wonder, what is he skipping there in verse 18 and 19? And I know you're going to peek, and that's all right. You go ahead and peek. There's a warning there in verses 18 and 19 that talks about if you add anything to this book or if you take anything away from this book, it's not going to go well for you. So just the fact that I'm skipping these verses, I want you to know I'm not taking anything away. I just want to make sure you see the continuity of the theme that's introduced in verse 17 that ends this book in verses 20 and 21. So let's read Revelation 22, the end of the story, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let anyone who hears this say, "Come." Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. Down to verse 20. And he who is the faithful witness to all these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. Listen, those are the last words. Those are the final words. And we all know that last words are important words. And what I want you to get today is simply this. What is the last word of the Bible? What is the final message of the Holy Scripture? What is the concluding appeal of God's word for you and for me? Listen, you can summarize it in one word. It is the word, come. Let me hear you say, come. Come. That is the last word of the Bible. Come, God says. The Spirit says. The witness says. Jesus says. He is coming soon. And let me tell you, that's an important word right now for this world in this crazy, pandemic, polarized, sin-broken world that we live in. God declares, come. What a message that we need right now. Listen, over the past 3 months or so, we've talked, I've heard other people talk, you know, about this idea that the church was kind of closed, or how the church was finally out of the box. I've even heard some claim that, you know what, the scattered church in those 3 months, in those 12 weeks, the scattered church was somehow better than the gathered church. And I get it. I get what they're saying. What they're saying is that the work of the church really isn't inside the walls of the building. The work of the church is beyond the building, and I would echo that. But I also think you have to be careful with that kind of thinking, because you need to understand that God's plan, God's call, has always been for both a gathered church and a scattered church, not one or the other. In fact, did you know that the word church, our word church in the Greek is the word ekklesia, and that word ekklesia literally means the gathering. You see, the gathered church is an essential part of God's plan for the entire church. In fact, think of it this way. You remember all those old family get-togethers, and you would have a cookout, and before the days of the big green egg and smokers and all of that kind of thing, the way that you would cook out is you would make a charcoal fire, right? And you would pile up those briquettes, and you would pour on enough lighter fluid to make sure that it's still lethal, you know, all the way through cooking the meat. Listen, what would happen when one of those little briquettes might fall and roll out of contact with all of the other coals? The fire goes out, doesn't it? That briquette becomes cold, because there is something to be said for the fire that happens when we are all together. You separate one and the coal, the fire goes out. And this is what we need to understand, that God's plan has always included a gathering for scattering in His church. And you can follow it all the way through the scriptures. I mean, you could go back all the way to Mount Sinai. Remember Moses, the children of Israel? They get out of captivity. God brings them from that land of slavery and sets them free. And the first stop they come to is Mount Sinai. It was a gathering place where the people of God gather in the presence of God. And God told all the people that I want you to come up onto this mountain, and you're going to have an experience with God. You're going to have an encounter with God. And listen, the people freaked out a little bit. They really did. They weren't so sure about meeting God face to face. And so they said, tell you what, Moses, you go for us. You represent us. You go put yourself in the presence of God. And so Moses goes up onto that mountain, and Moses has this glorious encounter with the living God that so transformed Moses himself that when he came down from the mountain, do you remember what Moses had to wear on his face when he came down from the mountain because he had been in the glorious presence of God? He had to wear a face covering. Now, in most of your translations, when you read that, it says a veil, right? And we immediately think, oh, you mean like a wedding veil? No, not at all. It literally meant covering, something that would black out. And so Moses came down off the mountain wearing a mask. You thought you were the first person to ever go to worship wearing a mask, but I'm going to tell you, Moses did it long before we ever did. He came down wearing this mask, and he experienced God. But this is the thing that I want you to catch. God brought His people to a gathering before He sent His people on mission to the land, where, by the way, I would remind you, they were to be a light to the nations. They were to invite others to the kingdom. He brought them to the gathering before He sent them out to do the work of scattering among all of the nations. Gathering and scattering go together, and not just then. Remember that night that Jesus gathered with His 12 disciples just before He goes to the cross? And they broke the bread and they shared the cup. And Jesus said to them, I have longed to gather like this with you. And in fact, I'm not going to gather like this until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God again. But there in that moment, there was an important gathering with His disciples, with the 12. Because come morning, Jesus told them, they're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And Jesus knew it was absolutely vital that there be a gathering that would precede that scattering so that they would not fall away. Gathering and scattering. Or think with me to that day of Pentecost. The day when the Holy Spirit comes and it changes everything. It is the launch of the church, and suddenly the church is equipped with power. The church is experiencing God's presence. The church has clear focus on what God's purpose is for them. But before that Spirit comes and the people scatter with the message of salvation, what did Jesus tell His disciples? Listen, you stay right here. And you guys huddle up and you pray until the Spirit comes. Gathering precedes scattering. And listen, we've been through kind of a scattering season over the last 12 weeks. I mean, I get it. We've kind of gotten used to being hunkered down a little bit, you might say. You know, we've kind of isolated, and there's still lots of folks that have fears, and I understand that. But beyond the fears, something else that you may have experienced is that we kind of became comfortable with that scattering, didn't we? Maybe even complacent in that scattering. 2 weeks ago this Sunday, I looked over at Diana. She's sitting in her recliner, and I'm over in my big easy chair. And I looked at her and I said, "You know, I'm glad we're getting back together, but I think I'm going to kind of miss these Sundays at home." I'm sure we're the only ones who ever thought that, right? Think about those words, recliner, easy chair. Let me tell you, it's really easy for us to give in to ease and reclining. But we got to be careful, because we are to gather as a people so that we can be effective as we scatter. And listen, Satan knows if he can inhibit your gathering tendencies, he will cripple your scattering purposes as a people. And that's why the Bible gives us some very clear direction, like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but let us encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." And friends, if it was drawing near then, how much more so is it drawing near here in 2020? It is important that we gather. In fact, our gathering here is actually a preview of the gathering that is to come there. Our gathering here is preparation for our gathering there. And so today I will simply implore you with this one word: come. Come. That's what the Spirit says. That's what the church declares. That's what Jesus says. Come, come. Because number one, there is a coming day. Look, there is a coming day. In fact, move in your scriptures back one chapter to Revelation chapter 21 and listen to how that chapter begins. It says this. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All those things are gone forever.'" The key word that I want you to see is hidden right there in verse 3. It is the word "now." If you have your Bibles, let me encourage you to circle that word "now." It is a word that means a change has come, a new day is here. Something dynamic is taking place. It's a way of saying the old is gone, the new has come, and what it means specifically is that God is present in the people gathering that is to come. That's what happens on the coming day. God himself comes down to be with us, with you. But the question is this: am I with him? Have I aligned my life with him? Not just me, but it's a question for all people. You see, our goal is the family of God. As the family of faith is clearly this: our goal is to get home to heaven and to take as many people with us as we possibly can to that family reunion that is to be. Listen, there is a party to come. There is a gathering to come, and that day is coming. Are you ready for it? You're invited to it. In fact, hey, Pastor Cliff is going to come right now, and he is going to talk about this invitation. So you join me in giving Pastor Cliff as big a welcome as is his personality. Welcome, Pastor Cliff. Amen.
Awesome, awesome. I mean, thinking about all this gathering really makes me think about a party. How many of you guys like parties? Yeah? Yeah? So, okay, so let's take a little poll here. I want kids and parents and adults to be included in this, and I want you just to participate with us, okay? If you guys can do it, let me say I can do that. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, if you like to go to birthday parties, let me see you wave both hands in the air. Awesome, awesome, awesome. If you like to go, or if you used to like to go when you were a kid, slumber parties, let me see a big thumbs up. Slumber parties, yeah. What about if you like to go swimming? I want you to wiggle all around. If you like to go to swimming parties, let me just see you get all those wiggles out like you were, maybe even do some swim motions in there, you know. I mean, y'all, I love to party. If there's a party, I want to be there. I mean, I'm excited about parties. You know what? And that's the same thing true about when we have the opportunity to go to heaven. You see, we're going to be celebrating with the Lord and what he's done for us so that we can be with him and celebrate with him. You see, if that's our goal in life, is to get home, to get to heaven, to be with the Father, it should be our goal to invite as many people with us as we can. Because one of the biggest things about a party is having people gather together. You see, you can't have a birthday party without people, because if you have a birthday party with no people, you're just getting old. And if you have a swimming party and you don't invite anybody to come swim with you, you're just taking a bath. Or maybe if you're having a slumber party and you don't invite anybody to come sleep over at your house, you're just going to bed. You see, guys, there is a party to happen in heaven, and we need to invite as many people as we can. It all starts with an invitation. You see, some of us in this room, we're Christians. That started with an invitation. Hey, do you know who Jesus is? In each one of the kids' bags, they have an invitation, and I'm an invited invitation. Maybe this is for your kid. Maybe this is for you. Maybe this is for a family member. You see, if you're a Christian, these two resources are not for you. We got a gospel booklet to help you understand more about the gospel, and an invitation to let people know, like, hey, you are invited to spend eternity with heaven, in heaven with God. So if your kid is not a Christian today, maybe this is a resource that you can use to walk through them, walk with them through this. Maybe if you're not a Christian today, maybe you want to take that for yourself. You guys who are watching online, this resource is available to you. Because the truth is this: in order for us to get home and invite as many people as we can to go there, there has to be an invitation. They have to know that God loves them. They have to know that God loves them so much that he sent his son to die for them. And not only that, but yes, he did die, but 3 days later he rose again to show that he had more power over sin and death, to show that he is victorious. And he loves you so much that he sacrificed his son for you. That message is not just for them, those people who don't know. It's also for us. Those people in this room, those people watching online. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe this is the day that you start it. Do you have a relationship with God? It's simple. It's easy. You have to admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner, that you know you do things wrong, that you deserve the punishment of death. You have to believe in your heart and in your mind that there's nothing that you can do to make that relationship right with God besides trusting in Jesus and believing that what he did on the cross for our sins is enough. You have to turn your life around, repent, choose to follow Jesus, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is the boss of your life. And when you do those things, that's how you know you're invited to come home to spend eternity with heaven and God. So today, we're just going to take a moment today to pray a simple prayer, to have a conversation with the Father. Maybe you need to start over and say, God, I've been straying off, but now it's my time to come back home. Maybe you've never accepted an invitation to make your way home. Maybe this is a prayer for somebody else, an invitation prayer, that the Lord speaks truth into their life so they can come with you. So wherever you are today, wherever you are, we're just going to pray a simple prayer. You can pray your own words, or you can pray a prayer like this. Dear Father, we just thank you so much. God, I admit that I'm a sinner. God, I know I do things wrong. God, I know I deserve the punishment that I should receive. But God, I believe in your Son. I believe in what he did on the cross, that he died for my sins, and that he rose again for me and for those all around me. God, I confess with my mouth that I need your help. God, I can't live this life on my own. God, I confess that you are the boss, the Lord over my life. And God, I want to choose to follow you each and every day. God, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for rescuing me, for restoring me. God, thank you for having a relationship with me and invite me in. God, we love you and we thank you. And that's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said,
amen. Thank you, Pastor Cliff. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. If you'll read with me the words of Jesus Christ, we see that not only is there a coming day when we will have that great gathering, but what is it that Jesus says about that day? Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. These are his words to the church. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of the prophecy written in this book. Skip down to verse 12 with me. Again, the words of Jesus. 12 and 13. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to pay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Not only is there a coming day, but we gather because there is a coming one. Who is it that is coming? That's right. You can say his name. You want to try it again? Who is it that says he's coming back? Jesus Christ himself says, look, I am coming soon. And if Jesus says that he is coming back, if Jesus says that he's coming soon, guess what you can bank on? He's coming. He is returning. And what we want to be sure of is that we don't miss that. We want to be sure that we're not on the fence about the truth of Jesus' return, about the truth of Jesus coming back. And we also want to see what happens when Jesus does return on that great day of gathering. Look at the picture that Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10 tells us. Now, this is John, the Apostle John, who's written the book of Revelation, describing what he sees. He says this, after this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. On that day, when Jesus comes and he returns and he gathers us, who is it all about? It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not even about the gathering. It's all about Jesus. Everyone is focused on Jesus. Everyone is shouting out the name of Jesus. Everyone is worshiping Jesus. And so what should it look like here and now? It's all about Jesus. What should my life be about? It should be all about Jesus. What is the work of the church all about? You see, because not only is there a coming day, not only is there a coming one, but there is also a coming work. Listen to what Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 and 17 says. Again, this is the words of Jesus Christ, where he says this: I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. What is the work that we have to do? Jesus gives the church two things, a purpose and a mission, right here in these verses. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for who? For the churches. He gives us a work. He gives us a call. He gives us a purpose, and that is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, to do in very practical ways here and now what we see Revelation telling us about then. And we also have a mission. Revelation 22, 17. What is the mission? The Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. What is the purpose and the mission of the church? It's to lift up and glorify the name of Jesus and to be the invitation that God gives to the world. What is this? It is the Word of God, but it is also an invitation from God to the world to say, come to me. Come to my Son, Jesus Christ. If the Spirit says it, so should we. If the bride says it, so should we. If the Heavenly Father says it, so should we. The church says to the world that is lost and dying, come to the Father. Isn't that a message that needs to be heard right now, today? Did you pray that prayer that Pastor Cliff led us through earlier? That was an invitation. That was a step into faith. If you did, let me encourage you to not keep that decision to yourself, but to share it. That's a way that you can lift up the name of Jesus Christ and glorify Jesus Christ just by sharing what he's done in your life. And let me give you a really practical step to be able to do this morning in order to be able to share that. There's a number on the screen, and you can just send a text message to that number on that screen. If you prayed that prayer and you stepped into faith, into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, just type the word saved. Text that to us this morning. If you want to be baptized, you want to learn more about being baptized, just text the word baptism to that number on the screen, and let's celebrate together. You want to talk about a party? The angels rejoice when the lost comes to Christ. Let's have some fun too. Let's rejoice together. Are you with Christ? Are you with God? And will you invite others to do the same? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the day you've given us and the time we have together. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and who he is. And the fact that we can have salvation and be in right relationship with you because of him. So today, God, may your kingdom grow as we become closer to you, as we grow more like Christ, and as others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.